This morning we want to go into the Word of God, and before then let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, we appreciate you, we thank you, Lord, for the time of worship and praise. Thank for accepting them in the name of Jesus. Thank for accepting us as well, O God, in the beloved. Thank for the supreme sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for those wonderful testimonies we heard from our brethren of exploits they did in their youth. My Lord and my God, your word say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray, O God, as we go into the world, there be a remembrance of those days and going back to the same, O Lord, for your coming so near. Now is the time to do exploits again. Help us, O God, help the young and the old, O Lord, to do exploits in this latter-day revival. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. And it's quite some time he gave me this word to share. And I see the relevance today, especially when I heard those testimonies. And the topic is recapturing our first love. Recapturing our first love. For our passage, let's go to Revelation chapter 2 to be our main scripture. Revelation chapter 2, 1 to 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear with them that are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, has found them liars, has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and had not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Verse 6. But this thou hast, thou hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Amen. Recapturing our first love. What is our first love? We are talking as Christians, our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you had a glimpse of what that first love is from those various testimonies that we heard this morning. Our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ, when we received him, our sins were forgiven us, and he translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God and his Son. Amen. Remember the joy. Remember the gladness. Remember that experience. Just like a lady falls in love with a suitor and eventually gets married to that man, You know that kind of love, hot, really hot love. And the people got married. The same way when Jesus saved us, he became our Lord and Master and Savior. He became everything to us. Remember that time? As new believers, we are often very enthusiastic when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. All things are passed away. All things become new. New boldness. New zeal. The things you used to like before very much, you don't like them anymore. Places you used to go before that you delighted so much, you wouldn't like to go there. For example, disco parties and all that. Maybe you are the type who used to go to disco parties or going, drinking, reveling and all that. This time around, they don't make any sense to you at all. So that's what happened. There are several other things that happens when we come to know the Lord. So we'll take our mind back to those days. And I read this passage from Revelation chapter 2, because the letter to the church at Ephesus. What happened to the Ephesians when the gospel was first preached there? Apostle Paul went there to preach the gospel and found that that city was given to idolatry. There was the goddess Diana that was highly, was famous all over the world at that time and was the mainstay of the economy. Because people manufactured the appurtenances, the instruments they used in worshiping the idol. And there was so much sexual immorality associated with the worship of Diana. That's what Apostle Paul and the others, they encountered when they went to Ephesus. Nevertheless, the church, they embraced the gospel. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul has something to say about the church there. They were doing very great, and they loved people. Amen? Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. You can see there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. They had love for all the saints. There was much love, and they had so much faith to overcome all the temptations of the idolatry that was prevalent in Ephesus. But with time, everybody say with time, something happened. That love became cold. It grew colder and colder and colder until it became so bad that God would say, remember where you started from? Remember your first love for me? Go back to your first love. That's what we're talking about today. They were very zealous for the work of the Lord, and they were opposed to idolatry associated with the worship of the goddess Diana. In Acts chapter 19, 21 to 41, you see the story there. In fact, it was a wonderful exploit that the apostles did there. Because the Ephesians, they were so much given to this idolatry that when they now heard the gospel, there was a change of mind and heart. People started to give out all the relics associated with idolatry. And it was millions of dollars at that time. I can't tell you how much. But it cost them so much. They paid so much price by giving up all those things. And many industries closed up. Businesses closed up. There was now a great revolt against the church. Yeah, these people, they have come to turn the world upside down. Our means of livelihood, they have taken away. Look at the famous goddess Diana we all used to worship. Nobody likes to worship that goddess anymore. That was the kind of thing that took place at Ephesus. But with time, something happened, and there was need to remind them. Even though they were greatly persecuted, they resisted sin, and they critically examined the claims of those who said they were apostles. There are people who say they are apostles today, they are not. It's not new at all, started then. But the Ephesians, they steadfastly resisted the sexual immorality associated with the goddess Diana worship. And they were patient in tribulation. They didn't give up easily because of persecution. They were patient in tribulation, and that zeal made many to come to know the Lord. But due to the passage of time, lukewarmness set in. No wonder in the Revelation 3, there was an admonition to the Laodicean church that, look, the Lord said that should repent of our lukewarmness, the lukewarmness of the church that the church had become. Should go back, because he said he will spew out the lukewarm. When water is not hot and it's not cold, it's lukewarm. And that kind of water is not good to drink. So spiritually speaking, if somebody has grown cold, you are neither cold nor hot, but you are lukewarm. God is not happy with that situation. So some Christians, and in fact, if not all Christians, come to that point of lukewarmness. But that is why at this time God wants to revive us. Amen? He wants us to go back to our first love. All what you have said now is history. History. It's past. And God is not so much interested in the past, but now and tomorrow. Amen? If he gives us tomorrow. Therefore, there's need to call back to memory what happened at that time. First love also means foremost in time, place, and order of importance. Our love for the Lord is supposed to be uppermost in our heart at all time. Let's read Mark chapter 12, 29 to 30, and see what the place Jesus Christ should occupy in our hearts all the time. Mark 12, 29. Mark 12, 29. This is what it says. And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this. So where should Jesus be in our heart? At the center, at the throne of our hearts. Number one, any day, any time. If Jesus is number one in your life, you will be different. Anywhere you are, you'll be different. Because Jesus is your number one priority. Amen? Amen. Let's bring the point home. Let's talk really about some aspects of our first love. When we first get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the things. As we are talking about this topic and you have not experienced this, it means there's need to go back to basics. There's need to go back to Calvary. If you have not started properly, you better start afresh today. Because all those who have experienced Jesus, they experience these same things I'm telling you of. Number one, worship. Worship, giving glory and adoration to the Lord because he is the creator of all. He's the Lord of all. He's more than our father, more than our mother. He created our parents, and so he becomes first priority. If you were to choose between your father and your mother and Jesus Christ, who would you choose? Today, many of us say, oh, I'll choose my mom, I'll choose my daddy. But scripturally, Jesus should be chosen first. Amen? That's why even if your parents go against Christ and they ask you to do what is wrong, what is unscriptural, you take your stand and say, Daddy, you know I love you and I respect you, but in this case, I will not. Remember the three Hebrew children? They respected the monarch, they respected the emperor, Nebuchadnezzar, at that time. But when he came to say, oh, you are set up an idol, and he wants us to worship, oh, but okay, you know, we love you, we are obedient, we have been serving with our talents and our gifts, no. But in this very thing, I'm sorry, we can't do that. Our God will deliver us. He will deliver us. Even if he refused to deliver us, yet we will not bow to this idol. You can see priority now. Between the king and the Lord Jesus Christ. The king of all kings, the creator of the whole universe. So when you have cause to make such decision, who would you put as number one? Worship God and him alone. We adore him. We have quiet time with him. Spend time with him. It's an act of adoration and worship. We sing praises. We ponder upon his love for us, upon what he's been doing for us, what he's doing for us, and what he will yet do for us. We pray in the spirit, pray in tongues. All these are aspects of worship. God is worthy of our praise. This happens when one comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer life, hitherto we never knew about prayer, but this time around, you have a Heavenly Father whom you can relate with. So you talk to your Heavenly Father in things both small and great. You say, oh, this is too much for my Father. Ah, I asked him for this yesterday. Today I'm asking again for this. Won't he be tired? He has other children all over the world. He don't do that. God is never tired. God is not a man. And he's not limited to space and time. Therefore, he's ever ready to listen and to answer you when you call upon him. This is the great privilege Christians have worldwide. I pity unbelievers when problems come their way because they don't have anybody really. Some of them, they don't have friends. Maybe they are not living with their parents and all that. So they are just alone to solve their problem. That's why many of them, they go commit suicide and all that. Because they are hopeless. But when you have Jesus, you have hope. And you have comfort. And you have somebody standing by you all the time. Amen. Jesus is real. If you have a personal relationship with him, he will never disappoint you. Amen. Yes. Our personal Bible study. You get to love the Bible. Even if you never knew about the Bible so much before, now that you have known him. Oh, they say the Bible is the word of God. It's a revelation of God to his own children. It's a coded book. Somebody else who does not know the Lord may read the Bible and not understand. Yes, somebody can study the scriptures along with other books and all that, religious studies, get PhD and all, and may not be born again. I think you know, it's very real. Yeah, because it's the spirit that gives life. It's not the letter. So, you get to love the Bible. If it's God's word to me, then I should know it. You don't have to be a priest, don't have to be a bishop, don't have to be a pastor before you get to know the word of God. No. This word of God is meant for you and for me. Therefore, we should delight in it. Amen. Yes, when I was, I attended Bible school some years past, I found many people who are not pastors or pastors to be. Why are they there? They just want to get to know the Bible. Both boys and girls, young and old, they want to know more of the Word of God. It's when we depend on priests and pastors to interpret the word of God, and we don't read it. That's when distraction can come. That's when somebody can be deceived. Because there are many false prophets and false pastors today. If you don't know the word of God, you wouldn't know what is the truth. Therefore, you delight in the Bible. Personal Bible study. We're not talking about church group thing now. You delight in studying your Bible. When I first knew the Lord, I bought Bible, I bought encyclopedia, I bought concordance, I bought Bible dictionary, I bought all those accessories. I wasn't a pastor then, but I just loved the Lord. And I started to read the Word of God, and I still read the Word of God, still study the Word of God. Amen. So it's part of it. When you come to know the Lord, things change, and you delight more in studying the Bible, meditating upon it, studying it, and memorizing it. Amen? Studying the Bible may lead us to discover our weaknesses and even our sins. Don't be bothered. It happens. Yes. You are a new Christian. You just read the Bible. Oh, see, sweet promises of God. Oh, God said it. If I'm in trouble, I call upon him. He hears me. And all. But at the same time, the same word of God will tell you where you are weak and falling. Don't be discouraged. Amen? Because the same word of God will correct you and instruct you in righteousness and tell you to rely on the Holy Spirit who will help you to overcome every sin and every challenge in your life. So, take delight in meditating upon the word of God. Psalm 103 verse 13. Let's read. Tells us about the joy that we have. Word of God. Psalm 103 verse 13 and 14. That's what it says. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. So God is compassionate. Don't say, oh, because God has revealed this, my shortcoming. Oh, I won't read it. I personally had that problem when I was very young. I was very young in the Lord. There was a particular recurrent problem. Should I tell you? That problem was talking, unending talking. I talk. In secondary school, they call me authority. No, talk. And when I read the Bible, Bible will remind me that I'm talking too much. And that in talking too much, sometimes we commit sin. So when I talk too much, oh, Lord, have mercy upon me, forgive me. Again, I would talk to him. One day, I met business with God. I said, please, Lord, please help me in this area of my weakness. Please help me. I don't want to talk too much anymore. I don't want to commit sin to talking. God heard my cry. Amen. And from that day to now, it's not been the same thing again. Amen. Amen. The Lord is faithful. In giving, talk about giving in support of the work of God as a believer. Yeah, you gladly do that because the work of God needs to go on. You give generously and liberally without grudging. If you give grudgingly, God is not happy with your giving. Anytime you give grudgingly, God is never happy. You may have given and the money has left you, but God is not happy and may not reward you for it. But when we give, we should give with joy and gladness. Because of the abuse of tithes in churches, especially in some countries, Nigeria in particular, somebody rose up and started to say that giving of tithes is this, is bad, is not scriptural, this and that and that. Because they misuse tithes, it doesn't neglect the word of God. As for me, When I was a youth couple, I started paying tithe at that time. Up to today, I believe. Because here, 100%, you can see that nobody misuses anything that you give. Praise the Lord. It's for the work of God, for the promotion of the work of God. We should give liberally. Should just give to sponsor projects. I thank God people do give here. In fact, I'm so much challenged. So it's part of it all. When you get to know the Lord, you don't have to be pushed into giving. Give for the work of God. Liberate from your heart. And God will bless you back. Because he says in Luke 6:38, say, give, and it shall be given back unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, so shall men give unto you. When you give for the work of God, God will cause people to give to you, unknown to you. In fact, there's a passage in the Proverbs. It says, when you give to the poor, God will repay you back with interest. Praise the Lord. When you give to the poor cannot pay you back anymore. God himself will reward you and will pay you back with interest. Oh my God. I think Proverbs 19:17. I'm not very sure about that. But that's it. So it pays to give because God delights in our giving. We can't outgive God. God gave his very best. While we're here, sinner, Christ died for us, gave his only begotten son for us to die in our place. We that were sinful, we that were hell bound, he made us sons of God, children of God. That's giving. So God has given his best, and so we cannot outgive God. Amen. We're talking about our first love. You delighted in doing that. I know of a young man in Nigeria, a minister of the gospel. Any money that came his way, we use it to support the gospel, preaching of the word of God, preaching of the word of God. He's not a mean man today. God has increased him greatly. It's a testimony in Christendom. Amen. Another thing is fasting. You didn't need to be told to fast. Because from time to time, you just go. Because this flesh is what causes us to sin most of the time. The works of the flesh and all that. When you are carnal, you are so more attracted to things of the flesh. And in so doing, you become less spiritual. Yes. Some Christians are carnal, while others are spiritual. The carnal man cannot please God. If you want to be spiritual, you obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And walk in accordance with the leading of the Spirit of God in your life. So fasting has to humble the flesh. It boosts our faith and cures unbelief. In times of deep need and distress, fasting can position us to receive answers more speedily than just praying. That's it. As a young Christian, we knew all this, long fast, and all that. So, it pays to serve God even in fasting. Maybe not just for your own need, but for the need of other people. You'll be praying. Why not change Jah? It's like changing Jah, you know, and then to Jah 1, and then your answer comes more speedily. It happens. So, another one is serving others. Serving others and serving God, doing the work of God generally. You know, we like to delight in witnessing. The common thread among all those testimonies we heard at the beginning was witnessing. True of us. We heard it here, except those who came a little bit later. Witnessing. Oh, check through again if you recorded it. Witnessing. It couldn't be otherwise, because that's the heartbeat of God. Jesus Christ saved you so that through you others will be saved. You care about your family members who are not yet saved. And in the process of time, God will use you to touch your family members. And they'll come into the ark of salvation. So, it's part of it all. That first love. Loving others. Showing kindness to other people. Part of the first love. Serving others. When God brings needs of others to your attention, God is indirectly telling you to meet that need. You may be two or three in a place, and God is just opening your eye to a particular need. Others, no, they are not seeing that as you are seeing at all. They are not perceiving it. But you saw that need. God is saying, do, meet that need. So God speaks to us in various ways, but he wants us to serve one another, to do things that will bless the work of God. Amen? When God brings needs of others to you, he also directs you to meet that need. When Jesus saw that woman whose only son died and was being carried for burial, he was moved with compassion. As a young Christian, you'll be full of compassion and mercy, just like your Heavenly Father. It's a new believer. First love. Are you still compassionate today? Compassion does not mean, oh, I'm sorry. Compassion is seeing a need and devising a way to meet that need. Jesus Christ did not just pity that woman, but he also raised that child back to life. Jesus Christ fed the need of the multitude who had come to preach, to listen to him preach. And for 3 days they had not eaten. Out of compassion, he decided to make a way to feed them. And twice he did that. First of all, 5,000. The other one, 4,000. Out of compassion. Do you still have compassion? It's a component of the first love. Ask God to take you back. to take you back like once Andre Crouch sang a song. Say, Lord, take me back. Take me back to where I first met you, Lord. Take me back to where I first loved you. That's what you're talking about. When you delight in someone else more than the Lord, something is going wrong because your first love did not tell you that. Your first love said, Jesus, number one, before my father, my mother, my brother, my sister. This time around, priorities are changing in your life. You need to go back to the first love. So let's talk about some of the signs that we are losing our first love. We have seen the elements or the aspects of first love that some of us have left. Let's see signs of losing our first love. When your soul no longer longs for a time of rich fellowship with God, you need a personal revival. You need to go back to your first love. No more time for the Lord. In personal study and meditation, devotion with the Lord, because we are so busy, especially in America, we are so busy. I agree with you, we are so busy. But if you still consider Jesus your number one, there must still be room for Jesus. Amen. He must occupy first place in your life and in my life. Otherwise, he will not occupy any place. First place. When you grudgingly give to the work of God, you are not happy about it. You need a comeback to the first love of God. When you regard God's commandments as restriction of your personal happiness, oh, there's trouble there. Oh, God's word will not allow me to do this. Will not allow me to do this. But you want to go ahead and do all the same because it's your delight. Flesh. Once upon a time, the flesh was very silent because it subdued the flesh. But this time around, the flesh is having its way. It's ruling. It needs to go back to your first love. When you are willing to forgive people who offend you, you would rather call down fire to consume them. You need to go back to your first love. Because the love you had at that time was compassionate. When you saw somebody, the first thing that will appear to you, say, is this person a Christian? If this person should die now, is he or she going to hell or heaven? That's the first thing you see in somebody and not any other thing else. But this time around, so many things. How we benefit from that person, you know, and, you know, maybe the makeup of the person. That's what you are most interested in now. Not about the eternal destiny of people around you. That is why some people, they can't reach to family members, they can't reach to their neighbors. Because they are not concerned about soul winning anymore. But once upon a time, that was your heartbeat. We need to go back to our first love. When we are new Christians, full of zeal, and we become very sensitive to the Spirit of God, especially when we are freshly baptized of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God leads us. If you offend somebody, in no time, the Spirit of God will convict you. Why not tell that person, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Quickly, you want to do that to have your peace. But this time around, some people have developed a seared conscience. Seared conscience. What does that mean? That is, you are no longer very sensitive to such issues. If God is saying, repent of this or apologize to this, you are reluctant to do it. Something has happened. I want to give an illustration of what a seared conscience is. You see this carpet, you have it in your house. And it's also in the car. If mistakenly water pours upon it and it's munched and you don't dry it up, what will happen? A stench will come up to be smelling. Possibly after some few hours, you begin to notice, what's happening? What's happening? Oh, water poured there yesterday and I didn't dry it. You now look for a way to get it vacuum or clean up and all that. Otherwise, it will continue to stink. But if you do not do anything about it, after some days, It will not be as it was on the first day. It will appear that there's no more odor, no more bad smell. What has happened? Your senses have become deadened. They have become hardened. And you say, oh, you enter, you say, as usual, you wouldn't perceive any odor, any smell anymore. Your senses have become deadened to it. But if somebody should enter your car or your house with that condition, say, what's happening? What? Anything wrong? Then you realize, some days ago, but I can't smell it anymore. What happened? And another person comes again. What's happening? But I can't feel. What has happened to you? Your senses have become deadened. That's what happens spiritually to people when their conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. They are no longer sensitive to the things of God. If somebody offends them, they are out for revenge. If God is leading them, they can hardly respond to God again because their senses have become deadened. May that not happen to us in Jesus' name. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. There's something the Bible says in the last day. That's what will happen. And it's happening to many people. It's high time we went back to our first love. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Speaking lies, talking about signs of the end times. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's exactly what we're talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, verse 2. When conscience becomes seared with a hot iron, you can no longer feel. Even when you are not committing sin, you begin to say, it doesn't matter. That language comes in, that expression, it doesn't matter. Whether you voice it out or by implication, it doesn't matter, comes in. But it wasn't so when you were born with zeal and enthusiasm for the Lord, when you first knew Jesus. So we need to go back to our first love. When we compromise with worldly things, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, love not the world, the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the like. That those are the things that God doesn't like. If you are a friend of the world, you cannot be a friend of God at the same time. What is worldly? Worldliness. How many people talk about worldliness anymore? But Bible says we should not love the world. That the things of the world, the things that attract the people of the world, including sinful practices. But they cover it up and say it doesn't matter. So when we compromise the word of God, compromise our standards, we need to go back to our first love. When we are no more concerned about making Christ known to the unbelieving, we're either ashamed or even afraid. We need personal revival. We need to go back to our first love. We need the Holy Ghost once more. Amen? Yes. Rekindling our first love. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, said the Lord. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. That's what we need to do, to go back. And then also remember the five arrows. Number one, remember from where you are falling. Remember that dimension you were in, and remember where you are now. That's first thing to remember. Number two, repent. Say, God, I'm sorry about all this. I become cold and lukewarm. Have mercy upon me. Then return to your first love. When you do that, receive forgiveness. Receive the forgiveness of God because he's willing to forgive you. And then renew your commitment to do the first works. David once had a spiritual drifting from the love of God, but he came back to God after prayers of restoration. We find that prayer in Psalm 51 verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Renew your spirit within me. Yeah. Create in me, O Lord, a new heart, and restore your spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew your right spirit within me. Me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. May the Lord restore us back in Jesus' name. May the Lord create that desire. Say, blessed are those who thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled, saith the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. And one of the way of rekindling our love, one of the way of going back is regular fellowship with brethren. Hebrew chapter 10 verse 25. Neglect not the assembly of yourself together, in so much as you see the coming of the Lord draw near. As the manner of some is. There are some whose manner is to stay away from brethren. Don't want to fellowship. But that's not good enough. Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. May the Lord find you and me ready, quickened, restored in Jesus' name. If you have listened to me this morning, you have not known the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not experienced all these things I'm saying. Go back to the Lord now. Bow down your head. Just say, Lord, have mercy. Even what the pastor is saying, I have not even experienced any of these things. It means you have not made up your mind. You have not followed Jesus. You have not surrendered your heart to Jesus. You can do that right now. It's not too late. He will accept you and will give you that same spirit that he gave to us when we first knew him. It is well in Jesus' name. May the Lord restore our joy and gladness. Our responsiveness to the leading of the Holy Spirit may be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who have not given their life to Christ, that they will know the Lord even now before it is too late. God bless you in Jesus' name.